should never start with an apology, but I think I need to do that. For one thing, I don't think there's ever been a time I've stood before the people of God that I've not been tremendously humbled by the task of doing the impossible. Because it is the impossible task to bring God's perfect word to you as an imperfect servant. And I'm always humbled by that. Part of the responsibility that we who bring the word of God before you have is to bring the whole counsel of God before you. One of the great temptations we face is to sidestep some of those things that are difficult. We don't have that luxury. A case in point is today. The fruit of the Spirit, patience. I guess I need to confess right off at the top that I am a lifelong poster child for impatience. So, I never want to stand before you and say, don't do as I do, do as I say. This is one of those categories where I got a lot of doing to get this thing right. And so, what I have to talk about is something that really comes to bear in my life. So, patience is probably one of the great challenges that I face. I relate real well to that prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. I probably prayed that many times over the years and he still hasn't answered it. But we're making some incremental progress. I desperately need patience. I am impatient. My family can tell you that. It would have been a lot easier to preach on this topic today if none of them were here. They are here. They can tell you the truth. I get impatient with things like microwaves. All those endless seconds. That just doesn't work for me. It should be quicker than that. So I have a problem with things that should not cause impatience. Impatience, I think, probably is the reason we have high-speed internet. People like me wanted faster speed. Y'all remember dial-up? Some of you may still have that. I hated it. It was nice to have internet, but to listen for that goofy tone and to wait for that thing to finally let you know that you were on, and then woe of woe, somebody sends you a picture. You know how it is today. You get a picture, boom, it's there. With that, you watch every little line fill in. So anyway, I think that impatience is the reason that we have high-speed internet. In fact, impatience and computers, they don't mix at all. You know, how many times have you sat in front of your computer like I have and watched that little hourglass thing? I got a Mac about a year ago. I thought it would be better, but it's got its own way of showing you that it's not ready. It's got this little wheel that spins, and I found that's just as annoying as that little hourglass on a Windows computer. But it says it's busy, it's doing everything it can, and it's not ready for you to do the next thing. And so we watch that thing, and we get impatient. And you know, I get impatient just talking about this. We better move on to other things. Like what Scripture says. Way back in the 1400s, somebody coined the phrase, patience is a virtue. Now, many people believe that's actually a Bible verse, but it is not. Some man in the 1400s coined the phrase, patience is a virtue. And while it is not exactly a Bible verse, there certainly are a lot of verses that support the truth of that statement. And of course, one in particular has to be what we find in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, and you're becoming very familiar with this as we read it week after week, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and here are the nine qualities, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I, for one, believe that there is a progressive order to the fruit of the Spirit. I think that one is built upon the other. Of course, the very first quality is that of love, and it is the greatest, and it needs to be at the top of the list. From love springs joy, from joy springs peace, and very closely associated with peace in particular is the quality of patience that we focus on today. And in saying that, a person who's experiencing the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, is in the best possible position to be a patient individual. So I can see how this fruit works together. So, patience, as we focus our attention on that today, it is a calm endurance that is based upon the certain knowledge that God is in control. So you see how peace and patience work together. It is that calm endurance, that steadiness, that is based upon that resolute knowledge that God is in control. And so thus, peace. I have peace if I believe that God is in control of the circumstances in life. If I have peace based upon that knowledge, I'm in a better position to be patient. And boy, do I feel guilty as I talk about that, because that must mean if I'm an impatient individual, I have issues with really believing that God is in control and being at peace with that. So I'm beginning to identify those areas that I need to take a good close look at in my life if I'm really going to be able to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit of patience in my life. So apparently there's a real need to grow in faith and to grow in confidence concerning God's control if I am going to grow in patience. As we've been stating every week as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, indeed patience, along with all those other qualities, patience is both fruit and it is the very character of God. And it's important that we keep those two things in mind in every one of our studies as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. Since it is fruit, that lets us off the hook to have it happen instantly in our lives. So we can be patient about letting patience spring up in our lives. And since it is the character of God, I guess that becomes the motivation to manifest it and the privilege that we have as well. God is forming His very character in our lives. And I just find that absolutely amazing, that God would be so patient as to cultivate these qualities in our lives. Someone has defined patience as the quality of putting up with others, even when one is severely tried. That's a pretty good down-to-earth working definition for us, isn't it? Patience needs to apply to people, but patience also applies to circumstances. Because not only do people try our patience, but sometimes circumstances do as well. Think about children who are impatient about growing up. We think about people who are impatient as they wait for God to reveal their future spouse to them. Those who are impatient about college opportunities or job opportunities. Or those who are impatient over illnesses. Those are just a few of the circumstances whereby we can be impatient. But there again, it comes back to that business of being at peace with God being in control. Is God really in control of the circumstances of my life? If I am confident of that, I'm in a better position to be patient concerning those things. But people, let's talk about people. People who try our patience. We are called upon scripturally to be patient with one another, to put up with one another and the idiosyncrasies that we all have. Two passages in particular, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "We urge you," or "we appeal to you, brethren." And these are things that we are to do with one another. We are to admonish the unruly. We are to encourage the faint-hearted. We are to help the weak. And here's the final cap. We are to be patient with everyone. Those are all circumstances that try our patience. Those that are unruly, undisciplined. We are called to admonish them, challenge them to settle down and live a disciplined life. Those that are faint-hearted, those that are bowled over by the circumstances of their lives, we're to encourage them concerning those things. And those that are weak, those that need strength, we're to come alongside and to be a support and to strengthen them. So in all of those circumstances, we are then to be patient with everyone. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you." That's a strong word. Sounds like beg to me. "I beg you, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness." And here's that word, "with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We are to be patient. We are to be tolerant of one another. We're to cultivate the fruit of patience, because if we don't develop that, honestly, the body of Christ ceases to exist. You get right down to it. We will not exist as a body of believers without patience. And so no wonder Scripture admonishes us to cultivate that quality, Because we're not going to put up with one another. We're going to fracture and splinter and go our separate ways aside of the quality of patience. So we desperately need to have that. As I consider cultivating this fruit of the Spirit of patience, there is one thing that I came across that I think is going to be the most helpful to me, and I would trust that perhaps it is for you as well. And that is that quality of patience that the Spirit of God is trying to grow in our lives is a patience that has a purpose. That's something that really meant a lot to me as I focused on that. It's not just about cultivating patience in general, but the fruit of the Spirit would develop patience that has a specific goal, a specific purpose. And for me, I find that very helpful, because if you give me a definite direction where I'm supposed to go and a definite why that I'm supposed to have this, that makes a great deal of difference. Consider the fact that God Himself is patient and He has a purpose in His patience. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. And why is it He is patient toward us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance? So God is patient for a purpose. God is patient because He wants none to perish, but He wants everyone to come to a change whereby they repent and they receive the promise of eternal life. And so patience, at least with God, has a specific purpose. And so God has patience with a view for change. That speaks to me if I'm going to be a more patient individual. Because, you know, impatience abruptly halts change. When I become impatient with someone, whatever changes they might make in their life, whatever it is that is desirable, that's going to come to an abrupt halt. And so patience allows the change to come about in lives that ought to be there. And so if we're going to have the character of God in our lives, there's why patience needs to be there, so that God can reconcile people to change their minds, change their hearts, using us to make that appeal. We are called ambassadors for Christ. That fits very well with that. God wants to make an appeal through us for people to change, not desiring for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Patience with a purpose. And so that again speaks to me, and I can see that's why I need to cultivate more patience in my life. Patience calls us to take a look at the outcome. And that I think is very, very helpful. Realizing that the outcome is every one of us who are in Christ, imperfect as we are right now, and much as we try one another's patience, the ultimate outcome is we're all going to be perfect someday. Isn't that what we find in Scripture, that we're going to be Christ-like someday? We're all going to be perfect. And so the struggle that's going on now has a very positive outcome. And so if we focus on what we're going to be, which I think that's how God sees us, that is a basis for greater patience. And again, that speaks rather personally to me as I would desire to cultivate patience in my life. A very important passage of Scripture dealing with patience, James chapter 5. Verses 7 and 8. The writer of James says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too," he says, "be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." We are called to be patient for a certain period of time. That sounds pretty good on the surface, except when you read that we're to be patient until the coming of the Lord. Oh, I guess I got to be patient right till the end of my life, or maybe the Lord will come back while I'm still alive. At least that'll be the end of patience. So James says we are to be patient until the coming of the Lord, and he gives us the example of a farmer. I think that farmers have to be the most patient people on the face of the earth. They plant seed in the springtime, and there's a lot of faith involved with that. They believe that over time there's going to be a crop that will come up from that. Now, James talks about the farmer who waits for the early and the late rains. And if I understand Israeli farming at all, that their situation is a bit different. There are abundant early rains that get the crop started, but there's a very dry period of time when it almost looks like the crops will die out. In fact, if it is not for the last minute late rains, it's going to be a disaster. But they wait patiently, anticipating those late rains to come that will bring a nearly dead crop to life again. And so farmers are lifted up then as an example of patience. And James says, you too, based on that, you be patient and strengthen your hearts. Our hearts become weak with worry. And so patience and faith and peace and all that working together, we're to be at peace within our hearts because we know that the coming of the Lord is near. And so we must never lose sight of that perspective. God is in control. He's going to send His Son back. And so because of that, we are called then to be patient. So we are to be patient with a view of the return of Christ and a view of the coming kingdom of God to see the whole big picture. It factors in a great deal in cultivating patience. Psalm 37, two verses, verse 7 and verse 9. The psalmist says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out evil schemes. Verse 9, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Rest in the Lord. Be at peace. We see how that works with patience. Be at peace with the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Don't worry about the thing that's going on with the evildoers, and it's awfully easy to do that, to look around in the world and see everything that's going on that's bad and who's getting away with what. But the psalmist says, don't worry about that. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him, and know that those who wait upon the Lord are going to inherit the land. It's kind of interesting in this world, all the plotting and the scheming that goes on to get ahead, to get a bigger slice of this world. It's not going to work out in the long term. Those of us that wait patiently upon the Lord, we are the ones who are going to inherit the land. And I believe that literally. When it says inherit the land, I think that's planet Earth. And that's what I believe about the future reward of the kingdom of God. The age to come is going to be on this earth, right? The meek will inherit the earth. Jesus worked off of those words. He says the meek will literally get the land. And so we're going to get the land one day, a renewed earth, free of pollution and problems. But we wait patiently for that day when Christ comes back and He inherits the land and we inherit it together with Him. And so the more we focus on that, the more we can be patient and say, let the world run its course. God has a plan and we win when it's all said and done. Patience, the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot make it grow in our lives any more than we can go out and make an apple tree produce apples. We cannot do that. That's one thing I come back to time and time again on all these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. It is something that is to be cultivated, something that God brings about that growth. And so again, the focus is, what can we do to best create the conditions whereby God can bring forth that growth? And again, these are deeply personal things I'm about to share with you. Because, boy, do I need to practice these things. But these are things, I think, that create the fertile soil whereby the fruit of patience can spring. Number one, keep the purpose for patience in mind. As we focused upon God's great purpose, patience facilitates spiritual decisions and growth. We need to be patient with one another so that we all can grow as we ought to. Secondly, keep the end result in mind. And that is the fact, again, that God is one day going to set all wrongs right. And one that I think is very personal and practical, and that is taking a time out. That's one I know that will help me a great deal. Counting to 10. Have you heard that said? When you get angry, when you get impatient, take time out and count to 10. Things don't escalate if we take a time out. So one of the very practical ways to cultivate patience is to just step away from the situation for a little bit, breathe, count to 10, whatever it takes. And here's an interesting one too. And again, I take this very personally. Treat impatience as we would treat an addiction. I've come to realize my natural self is easily addicted to impatience. So I'd like to form a new club today, Impatience Anonymous. Anybody who wants to join me for that, let's see what we can do. Hi, my name is Steve, and I'm impatient. So there, I've already... I'm not the only one in the club, so I'm glad to know that. So anyway, beginning with acknowledging the problem, I am easily an impatient person. I need to break that habit like it is an addiction. Prayer, obviously, is quite critical to the whole process. but to also confess before God the episodes of impatience, to actively seek God's Spirit to overrule those episodes of human impatience. So anyway, I can see all of those things are necessary steps to cultivating that. Patience pays off. It really, really does. And I was thinking that I am personally a member of the body of Christ today and able to stand before you because of patience. And it's not my own patience that I'm thinking about. In this instance, I'm thinking about my own mother's patience. I've shared the story before. I came from a believer-unbeliever family. And for my younger years, Mom was the believer and Dad was not. Mom patiently took my sister and I to Sunday school and church. Mom tried to patiently cultivate spirituality in our lives. She is probably more patient than I'll ever know. But her patience paid off. She prayed faithfully for an unbelieving husband. And the day came when her two children and her husband and a cousin and some family members in the church gave their lives to Christ. And so I know that patience pays off. I would not be a believer today if it were not for patience. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. I think that especially applies to patience, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's not lose heart. I promise I will not lose heart. I will seek to continue to do good. In due time, there will be fruit if I don't get weary and give up. God is patient with us always. God is patient with us today. I cannot even begin to fathom how patient God is. But as we are gathered here today, God is patient. God is patient with the process in each of our lives. There are some here that have not even begun the journey. God is patiently waiting. God is not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. God patiently waits today for you to make that decision while you have the opportunity. Let's take advantage of God's patience. If you are here today and you have never acted, I urge you to make that decision this day while God is yet patient. Others of us may be stymied along the way in our Christian progress, and we know that there's a need for a breakthrough. There is a need for a step of rededication and recommitment concerning a particular area in our lives. God is patient. Let's take advantage of His patience. Let's act upon that today and say, God, I want progress. I want the fruit cultivated more in my life, and I want to make a decisive step today for You to do what You uniquely can do in my life as I yield myself. I think it's important that we surrender ourselves while God is patient and while we have the opportunity.